Well, coming up on today's show, 30 fast chargers now online and counting for Electrify America. However, in the EU, EV chargers are mainly based in just four countries. Can you guess which ones? And Volkswagen's CEO claims they're about to make EVs that are better than Tesla's for half the price. We'll get to that story in a moment. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It is Tuesday, the 30th of October, 2018. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story I can find today, so you don't have to. I've had a bit more time today than normal. I'm on a week off my day job this week, and it's been very nice just to be a little bit less busy than normal. Thank you very much to MyEV.com for helping me make this show. If you check out MyEV.com in the USA, you can buy and sell and learn about EVs as well, and an ever-increasing catalogue of cars to browse on there, from your little runabouts to top-of-the-range Teslas. Well, we'll kick off with a story about diesel in Europe. A quick stat on the rise and fall and fall and fall of diesel in Europe from Matthias Schmidt. Now, Matthias is at auto_Schmidt if you want to follow him on Twitter, as I do, and he's the man with the numbers and very well researched tweets. He says that the European diesel mix of new passenger car sales fell below a third in September, and you haven't got to go back too far to look at Europe, I mean, just being huge diesel market. September year to date was 36.9. If you look at the year over the first 9 months of the year, the last four quarters, if you look at the last four quarters in order, by the way, of how diesel has been declining in Western Europe, quarter four last year was 41.6. Beginning of this year, Q1, 38.5. Then in Q2, 36.7. Then in Q3, 35.2. The last time the annual diesel mix fell below a third was back in the year 2000, 18 years ago. Wowzers, and it just keeps on coming down. Not necessarily because everyone's buying EVs, by the way, but a lot of people switching to petrol cars. Of course, EVs are on the rise as well, but the love affair with diesel seems to be well and truly over. A new update today about Electrify America progress ahead of an onslaught of EVs coming in 2019 and at least by early 20 means that Electrify America have to get plenty of their fast charging stations built and in place. 30 of them are now online, and a huge task ahead of them to spend part of the $2 billion settlement with the EPA and the Californian Air Resources Board all over Dieselgate. Now, of those 30 stations that are now online in the US, most of them have 7 CCS chargers and 1 CHAdeMO point. This week's question of the week on the podcast is, where would you put a charger? And if you were going to answer Walmart, they've beaten you to it. Over 100 of the Electrify America chargers are going to eventually be at Walmart stores, but that's still a drop in the ocean, with more than 2,000 ultra-fast chargers to be in place by June next year. Electrify America DC fast charging stations have pretty upfront pricing. It includes a $1 session fee and per minute charging cost, and an idle fee. Lovely. An idle fee of 40 cents a minute. Our introductory offer, they say, is 30 to 35 cents per minute. I'll put a link to Electrify America's website on the show notes if you want to click straight through to their map. Whilst battery-powered vehicles may be cheaper to run and maintain compared to their petrol and diesel-powered cousins, the European Union isn't yet the perfect place to charge them and keep them going. More than three quarters, 75%, 76% actually, of the EU's charging points are actually in just four countries. They are the Netherlands, Germany, France, and the UK. And come the next few months, the UK won't be able to be included in those UK stats. What's more, those countries only make up 20% of the Union's total area, reports Motor1.com. Well, the country with the most dense concentration of EV chargers is the Netherlands. 28% of charging points cover 1% of the total area of the EU. The Netherlands also has a really solid ultra-fast charging network. Places like FastNed are putting in those 350 kilowatt chargers. Wowzers. There's currently around 100,000 charging points in the European Union, and that number should multiply, this is the prediction, by 20. That's a lot of chargers to be installed by somebody. The prediction is by 2025, the EU will have 20 million charge points capable of handling plug-in cars. To meet the target, 1.9 million charging points need to be produced and sold. Someone's got to make them, someone's got to install them in the next 7 years. Over in China, the Chinese government's come up with a plan to accelerate the infrastructure for EVs. The Chinese Premier, Li Keqiang, I probably said his name wrong, sorry, at a state council meeting a couple of days ago, released a guidance plan for the electric vehicle industry. It's aimed at building sufficient charging poles to meet demand from at least 5 million EVs. That's the plan by 2020. According to Argus Media, the plan requires all parking spots at new residential buildings to have charging points. They call them poles. The charging poles, some of them call them piles as well, which is an unfortunate term. If you build a new residential building, you are required to have piles for at least 10% of the spots of public of parking that you're putting in. It's to ensure that there's one charging pole in a public area for every 2,000 EVs. China's the largest EV producer and consumer as a whole. It produced 795,000 electric cars last year. It's on target to make 1 million electric cars this year. Beijing is aiming to double production of EVs to 2 million by 2020 to save energy and curb pollution. Of course, China wants to be a world leader in electric cars, and they're not hanging about. Back in 2011, they made just 8,000 of them. Wow. Now that's a ramp. China, as of August this year, had installed 662,000 charging poles across the country. 275,000 of them are public. 387,000 of them are private. The central government's guidance comes after many Chinese provinces have been doing their own regional plans to boost EVs, but now it's all being tied together. Let's talk about last mile EVs. Electrive have a new report out that says a change of law in Germany. Many manufacturers of electric kick scooters or like the skateboards, electric skateboards, have long been waiting for this law, the so-called personal light electric vehicles. I have never heard of the phrase PLEVs before, but this is all about the PLEVs. It's going to become legal to use one of those in Germany at the very latest in 2019. The country follows European legislation finally. In France and other places, those little motorised vehicles have long been allowed to zoom around town. In Germany, the new law is going to go into effect very, very soon. It'll then gather all these mostly remote-controlled kind of electric longboards and kick scooters and monowheelers. It puts them all into one category. They're all plebs. Most importantly, it's going to legalise a whole new market for things like rental services like Limebike and MyTaxi and Segways for rental of electric last mile plebs. You get the idea. Right, let's talk about Volkswagen. Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess said in a couple of days ago that by 2020, which is a blink of an eye in auto manufacturing terms, by 2020, Volkswagen will make electric vehicles that are as good as Tesla's, but are half the price. According to a few stories that have been floating around over the last day, this one I picked up on Business Insider, this one. Volkswagen said last year it plans to invest around $40 billion in EVs. It's a big bet that they're making, in other words. Self-driving vehicles, mobility services, all by the end of 2022. They're writing some enormous checks at Volkswagen right now. Nothing to show for it in terms of what you and I can buy, but the work is going on in the background. The automaker is targeting sales of 3 million EVs a year by 2025 across 50 models, according to Reuters. Volkswagen's upcoming EVs include the ID Buzz minibus, the ID Cross with all the Zs, crossover, and an ID compact car that may or may not be called the Neo. Nobody really knows. Maybe that's a working title, or maybe it will be called the Neo. No confirmation. D said this, and I quote, "We will come in 2020 with vehicles that can do anything like Tesla and are cheaper by half," end quote. I don't think that's lost in translation, cheaper by half. Maybe he was just saying they're going to be cheaper and as good as Tesla's, but the literal translation of that phrase, I mean, it's not translation, the interpretation of that phrase is that they're going to be half the cost of a Tesla. So a Tesla, by the time that Volkswagen are making them, you'll be able to get a $35,000 Model 3, if you don't mind the base paint and the base everything, really. So we look forward to that. We look forward to $17,500 VW electric cars. That's not going to happen, but according to them, it is. That's not going to happen. According to them, it is. Let's move on to an interesting topic. The last couple of days on Twitter, I've seen a few conversations going around, the gist of them being EVs are fine for the city. And there was one particular conversation that I was following on Twitter, and it was from a farmer saying, "You come back to me when EVs are suitable for farms, and I don't live anywhere near any public charging stations." And people were saying to them online, "Look, you charge at home. A lot of farms actually have enough room for solar and wind, and a lot of farms do have their own energy generation. But if not, then you have got electricity on your farm, and EVs are charged overnight for most people." And he was saying, "Look, when you get an electric tractor, let me know." And people were saying, "There are plenty of electrified commercial vehicles, and you know what? Because it's instant torque from zero revs. Actually, electric working vehicles make a lot of sense." But he was having none of it. So I thought I'd look out a few farming articles, and I found one today. Well, farms could become key players in generation, storage and supply of renewable transport electricity in rural areas, as well as supplying what they call a decentralized power network, according to a new study. An industry-led task and finish group could lead to trials of new EVs and autonomous vehicles using farm and rural situations. According to Farming UK, the initiative could also identify how things like the grid at a local level in those rural areas around the world can use things like battery storage in EVs, things like vehicle-to-grid systems, where the power goes the other way from the car battery back into the grid, because it's basically a giant storage system with four wheels on the corner, and how it can make that happen. According to a new report looking at the opportunities and challenges of V2G at farm level, it comes as there is a greater need for localised energy, renewable energy, more resilience in the grid in terms of lots of people making their own power, either using it themselves or feeding it into the grid. And that is in light of the UK government wanting to ban pure fossil sales by 2040. Well, also here in the UK, electric vehicles took centre stage at the Green Power International Finals recently at the Rockingham Speedway, held by the Green Power Education Trust. It's a charity helping young people get interested in science and engineering. They challenge them to build, design and race an EV, and it's the culmination of 6 months of regional qualifying. Throughout the year, Green Power work with more than 10,000 young people in over 700 teams. The races are contested by teams from private companies, racing clubs, schools, technical challenges, universities, all hailing from a number of countries like the UK, China, Portugal, Poland and Ireland, and inspiring the next generation of EVs. And Ford involved with that as well. So a round of applause to Ford, who don't have the biggest story to tell about electric cars yet. Well, Shell has launched its very first high-powered 350 kilowatts electric charger in France, despite no vehicle currently on sale being able to take full advantage of the charging speed. According to David Pratt for Current website, the oil and gas giant worked to install 8 chargers, and it's only part of a 400-strong network across Europe that's all part of Ionity. Ionity is a joint venture between BMW, Daimler, Ford, Volkswagen, Audi and Porsche. People forget to say that there's some other big names involved in that. The latest units follow the installation of the first 4 chargers in August in Austria. Those chargers are going to be all the main routes if you want to do trans-European driving in your EV. and you've got one that can juice up really quickly, then that's ideal. So the new range of affordable EVs, just to recap, Hyundai Kona, Kia e-Niro, they will, because of their limitation on the amps they can take, about 72, 73 is the limit on those batteries. Still very good. You move up to something like Jaguar I-Pace, which will soon be able to charge at 100 kilowatt speeds once it gets its software update. That didn't launch with it. I think it's still coming. If you know differently, correct me if you've had, if you've got one. If anyone's got one, let me know. But if you've got one and they've done the update, let me know. Otherwise, I gather its charge is slower at the moment, but 100 kilowatt is coming. Mercedes EQC, Audi e-tron, 150 kilowatt charge speeds, but still nothing on in the near future that can do those 350 kilowatt charge speeds. But they will. They'll come. Well, final story today is, I thought this was kind of a cute story and something that the fossil drivers are really going to hate. A new initiative in Austria is going to reward EV owners with a rather unique incentive. I like this one. Last week, the Austrian Ministerial Cabinet announced they're going to adjust the speed limit for EVs only on the country's IGL 100 zone. It covers a total area of 273 miles, and this is being reported by Simon Alvarez, a Teslarati, who notes that with the updated rules in place, if you own a Tesla or an EV and you travel on those roads in Austria, you can actually go 80 miles an hour legally rather than 60 miles an hour. So you get another 20 miles an hour of legal speeding. That's really going to wind up the fossil owners if they all have to do 60 because of the speed cameras, and you can fly along at 80 in your EV because the cameras are set to know which cars are registered as zero emissions. The speed limit exemption for EVs is part of Austria's initiative to encourage the adoption of sustainable transportation. With adjusted speed limits, the Austrian government also pushing to open bus lanes for zero emission cars and promote free parking programs for EVs as well. And the more of that, the better. I live near somewhere called Bournemouth on the south coast of the UK, and even last week they are talking about Bournemouth running a trial scheme to allow EVs in bus lanes and half-price parking. No details yet on how that would be policed and regulated. So when I go to you know, a couple of miles from here, when I go to use public charging in Bournemouth, how do I register that I only pay half? And how do I drive in the bus lanes if it's busy? And is that signage going to be made very clear? Also, although Bournemouth is a town, I live a couple of miles outside of that, but there are three or four towns that have all grown over the years, and they've all kind of just turned into one big, it should just be, you know, it should just be really one authority, because we've got lots of local councils, but it's grown over the years, and you can pretty much go for many miles, and you're all within that one urban area. And so how do I know if I'm driving in a bus lane, hang on, I've gone from one council now to the next, because I've gone over the border. I mean, the borders aren't signposted. It's not like you're leaving a country. It's just like the local authority kind of council regulations. So all of that to be worked out. I'm looking forward to hearing how my local area is going to put some more benefits in for EVs, more regulation. Oh, tell me about regulation. Tell me about policing it. So today, so I'm off this week from work. And so today I said to my wife, Nurse Emma, let's go to IKEA. It's a weekday. IKEA will be quiet. Stupid. IKEA is always busy. Whenever you go. But it's fine. They've got an Ecotricity electric highway charger that we can plug her Zoe into. So she's got the 22 kilowatt hour Zoe. Technically, we could get there and back. It's about 40 miles away. We can get there and back on one charge. It's mostly motorways as well. And it's really cold. It's about 4 or 5 degrees Celsius here at the moment. So we could get there and back just... the battery's still in good nick with the air conditioning running. We'd scrape it, but let's charge when we're there. So we got there this morning, and there was a Tesla Model X plugged into the AC side, not even on the CHAdeMO with an adapter, but on the Type 2 plug. So that was frustrating, because you are limited to 45 minutes charging at IKEA, and it had already ended. So I don't know when it had ended, but it already ended. And so they'd taken like 8 kilowatt hours of energy. So that's okay. So we parked across the way in the normal parking, and we went and got some food. So I got me veggie meatballs, and we were about an hour, had some dessert, a nice coffee. Went down an hour later, Tesla Model X is still there, still plugged in, nothing. Okay, let's go to the marketplace and get our our bits and bobs. And so we've been there an hour and a half maybe now. So then we went to go get what we went there to get, just some kind of kitchen stuff, typical IKEA things. About another hour mooching around. Thought, when we go back, we'll put our car on charge. If somebody else is parked in that space, if someone else is charging, fine. But if not, we'll charge the Zoe and then we'll just pop back and get a quick drink. Go back, Tesla's still there. It's like 3 or 4 hours later. And I don't know how long it had been there this morning. And you're like, man, getting iced is one thing by a fossil car. But when you're being screwed over by a fellow EV driver and like a Tesla Model X, you know, P100, and you're like, dude, you don't need another 8 kilowatts, really. You got a massive battery anyway. So I went across the road to the Holiday Inn, where there's a Polar Ultra Charger, 50 kilowatt charger, although our car will only take, what, 22 odd kilowatts. And that was out of order. And I was like, oh, man. Really? This is not a good advert for EVs. And I thought, you know what, I haven't got the energy to call Polar and start going through it. So we left there. That had the big out of order thing on the screen. So then we went to Asda, where there's some 7 kilowatt chargers, and we just went and got our groceries for the week and juiced up by a few kilowatt hours. And that was enough just to get us home with loads, because it was dark by then, so loads of spare, but a little bit of a faffy day. So look, if you drive a Tesla and you don't really need to be on a charger, please don't. Some of us have much smaller cars. Thank you very much to myev.com, who set this week's question of the week. Keep your comments coming in on email and YouTube and Facebook, and the blog has a feedback form. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Simple question this week. If I could write a check for you and put a charger anywhere in your life, where would you want a public charger to go? Not at home. Would it be a leisure centre? Would it be the gym? Would it be where you shop? Let me know and why, and give me your wish list of just one. If you could put one public charger somewhere, if you are EV curious, if you're an EV owner already, let me know what would make your life easier. There are 109 patrons of the podcast. Thank you very much to those for checking out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. We have two new people who are supporting me at the $5 producer level supporters. That's what I call the posh coffee level. It's one posh coffee a month, and you get to support this podcast. That is Andrew Murphy. Andrew, thank you so much. And EV Solid State. Now, EV Solid State is aka Matthew William Hart. We've been chatting on Facebook as well, and he's launching a new project. And good luck to that, my friend. And thank you so much for supporting me on Patreon, the producer level. Of course, there's like $10, which is your fancy coffee once a month. And it goes up as there as well for businesses if they want to support the podcast. The show is available on all the places you get podcasts from. And if you want to subscribe on any of them, that's the easiest thing to do, because then you get it automatically. It arrives probably when your phone's on charge and you're not even thinking about it. The podcast gets sent to you. It's free. You can subscribe on YouTube, on any of the podcast platforms, and you get it first, right? And then you get it automatically. We like things that make our life easier. On Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, if you search EV News Daily, you'll find me. Have a wonderful day. I will catch you tomorrow.